Lightning is becoming a service layer, an application layer of sorts, for capital markets on top of Bitcoin. So what does it mean exactly that we're providing services to the network? What might that market begin to look like? That's what we're reading today with another one from Breeze Technology, written by their CEO, Roy Scheinfeld, who we've had on the show. I will have all those links in the show notes. But for now, let's jump into introducing Lightning service providers. The Lightning economy is coming, and it will combine two fundamental components: technological innovation and actual people. The technology is Lightning itself. Peer-to-peer, trustless, fast, and economical Bitcoin transactions. Sure, there are some user experience wrinkles to be ironed out, but there is no doubt that Bitcoin is going to replace fiat, and Lightning is how. The other half of the equation, though, is adoption. Actual people have to start using the technology and accept it as their default means of exchange. As Lightning replaces fiat, the network will have to onboard new users by the million, and then by the billion. How can we manage onboarding at that scale? Simple. With Lightning service providers. What is an LSP? When thinking about the challenge of onboarding, it's important to remember that many incoming users aren't coming from Bitcoin. They'll be onboarding directly from fiat, and they'll need someone to guide them onto the network. Even experienced, technically sophisticated users could use some help to avoid non-obvious obstacles. For example, even a user willing and able to open her own channels manually will have to spend money first, i.e., move local balances outward to create inbound capacity before she can receive money, which is the opposite of what most users would prefer. In choosing a hub for her initial connection, how can she tell which ones are stable and well connected? Even if she uses Autopilot to help find active hubs, opening channels with the hubs it recommends is still a bet on the hub's stability. She's betting her setup fees that she won't have to repeat the process should one of these hubs decide to close the channel unilaterally. Those are the kinds of problems LSPs solve. They provide users with a stable connection to the Lightning network, simplified channel management, and liquidity. While ISP is a well-known term, you've probably never heard about LSP before. The similarities between the Lightning network and the internet, in many respects, are striking. It's no accident that the term Lightning service provider resembles internet service provider. They're similar in that they both connect users to a wider network, but different networks require different functions from their service providers. So let's talk about those functions. What does an LSP actually do? Lightning is a network of nodes connected by payment channels. Those payment channels come with a number of features that both make the network secure and trustless, as well as potentially cumbersome for new users. These features would include capacity limits, inbound and outbound liquidity, routing through payment channels from sender to receiver, the need to sync with the Bitcoin mainnet, etc. LSPs basically constitute counterparties on users' payment channels that perform channel management functions automatically in order to ensure that they work consistently and effortlessly from a user's perspective. For example, 1. Opening channels. An LSP's first function is to open a channel with a new user's node and confirm its active status. Since the channel is initiated and created by the LSP, the user doesn't need to fund the channel herself from an existing on-chain wallet, which greatly simplifies the onboarding process. LSPs can onboard fiat users directly, leapfrogging on-chain technology and flattening the learning curve. 2. Incoming capacity. When a user manually opens a channel, she cannot receive any payments until she spends some of the funds used to open the channel. In an LSP model, where the LSP funds the channel from the outset, users benefit from immediate inbound capacity, while users will still have to deposit funds into the channel before they can spend anything. The LSP's inbound capacity will let them receive funds immediately via Lightning once the channel is active. 3. Routing. LSPs act as hubs, providing users with a secure, stable connection to a node that itself is well connected with payment channels to further hubs, and ensuring that users can always route payments where they please. LSP's connectivity is their capital. 4. Rebalancing. Hubs need open channels with each other to route payments. They also have local and remote balances, and if those balances fall out of balance, then they will no longer be able to forward users' payments. A busy hub whose channels are all skewed toward the remote balances won't be able to forward payments, and a hub receiving high volumes of incoming transfers will run out of channel capacity to accept any more. Another vital LSP function, then, is rebalancing the distribution of funds in the local and remote balances among themselves to ensure the liquidity of their payment channels and the mobility of users' funds. 5. Reliability. In order to avoid downtime, users can either open a range of different channels with different nodes, in different locations, and on different terms, or they can connect to just one or a few hubs who must provide reliable service to survive. The first strategy requires lots of management and lots of funds to be committed in different places, whereas the latter relies on the network's built-in incentive structure to solve the problem. Beyond uptime, there is also the more fundamental need to have open channels available at all. When push comes to shove, either node on a payment channel can force close it with little or no warning. By providing users with rock-solid SLAs, or service-level agreements, LSPs can reassure users that they will be able to pay and get paid when they want, without having to manage multiple channels and commit funds all over the network. And the SLAs reassure users that channel closures will only happen in predictable, well-defined circumstances. LSPs without centralization. At first glance, there's a tension between Bitcoin's decentralized, peer-to-peer trustless nature and a network with hubs, isn't there? If users connect to the network over a single hub and payments are simply routed from one hub to another, it might sound like centralization. That's not exactly true because it's so easy to mitigate. Why should anyone connect to a single LSP? Why shouldn't users have the option to have several LSPs available in their apps and be able to choose whichever offers the lowest transaction fees? If we keep the barriers to entry low, and there's a lively market of LSPs, users can hop between them to suit their own purposes. They need not rely on any single LSP, and the network would remain decentralized. Although LSPs don't require trust, ideally, users will run their own full nodes and essentially be their own LSP. For the less advanced users, public LSPs provide them with the choice they need to remain sovereign and autonomous. LSPs help to onboard users, and Breeze helps to onboard LSPs. Despite the fact that it's a great business model open to virtually everyone, there are not many LSPs currently out there. Breeze is one very good example. When users install the Breeze app, we provide them with 1 million Satoshis of incoming capacity in channels the Breeze Hub opens for them automatically. Our hub is well connected, too. It actively rebalances funds on its payment channels to ensure liquidity with over 70 other hubs. At the moment, Breeze users automatically opt in to the Breeze LSP. In the near future, though, we'll be giving our users the option to select a different LSP within the app. They'll still be able to use the Breeze app with all of its advantages, but they'll be able to select the LSP or LSPs of their choice, including their own nodes. Choice is good for users. Competition is good for the market. Decentralization is good for the network, and users are good for Breeze. Everybody wins. But we're not the only LSP currently operating. There are a few others on the market providing users with funded channels and with more or less channel imbalance management. Lightning2.me, LNBig.com, and BitRefill's Thor, for example. They're all doing their part to onboard users and to expand the Lightning economy. We're actively proving the viability of the LSP model, and we welcome you to join us. If you operate your own LSP or are interested in getting one started but need users, contact us. We'd love to include you as an option in our Android and iPhone apps. Let's onboard the world to the Lightning economy. And that wraps up our excellent little article on Lightning service providers by Roy Scheinfeld. And I really want to talk about this one because it's going to lead into our God's Take episode for tomorrow. So let me go get something to drink real quick. We'll hit our sponsor and I'll be back. We'll sit down and get into this one. All right. So I want to actually start this off with a little bit of pushback. And I want to do it with just kind of a little dose of reality here. And there was a quote towards the beginning, which I don't really take a lot of challenge to. I don't take a lot of issue with, but I take a little bit of issue with the finality of the statement. And that is, quote, "There is no doubt that Bitcoin is going to replace fiat, and Lightning is how." Now, this is essentially what I believe, but I want to say that I don't think there is any doubt that a decentralized sound money will replace fiat, and that Lightning and Bitcoin are the two most powerful candidates for that. In terms of a cryptocurrency, nothing touches Bitcoin in any sense of what I think of as the value and the purpose of a decentralized, what we get out of that system and the validation that we are able to maintain. I don't think anything comes close to Bitcoin. And if Bitcoin survives against a incredibly well-funded and malicious state actor, if Bitcoin as a system makes it through that, or if it survives long enough to deal with the potential quantum computer problem, you know, whatever it is, like, cryptography does break. And even though there is massive incentive to ensure the system remains, I think that a fundamental change and on the time span of a couple of decades, I don't think it's out of the question that we have to completely change the signature or the cryptographic scheme of Bitcoin. I don't think it would probably still be called Bitcoin, but I just want to put a little dose of, like, okay, that potential remains. Regardless of how unlikely that is, I think it's still there. And then I also want to add that Lightning isn't the only second layer solution. I think it has absolutely the most potential for what is out there, and I have been using it, and I don't intend to stop using it, even with the handful of payment failures that I've had. In fact, I've actually had a couple more recently. I wrote like a really long thread on Twitter about all this stuff that I've done with Lightning, and it has been incredibly reliable, even though some of the payments did take a while. They would like sit there and spin for a bit. One of them looked like it had failed, like it just went back to the screen, and then I had to check on my Casa node and it had actually gone through, but I didn't know for like 20 minutes or something. So like the experience wasn't perfect. Like it was not completely seamless and it wasn't like super fast, and there were a couple of payments failed somewhere in that mix. But I've been able to do a pretty substantial amount of transactions and exchanges on the Lightning Network that just did not rely on on-chain payments. And that has been pretty amazing to see it get to that point, because I was trying to use it for a while and not having any luck. And now it's a little different. I'm actually using it. Like I'm actually moving funds around. I'm using it not just to tinker with, but just because I can actually use it for some stuff. I can buy some gift cards. I can use Fold. I can go out and get stuff in the world, and I can use Lightning. And that's pretty awesome. And that's come a pretty long way in a pretty short amount of time. Again, however, it isn't the only option. And we could come up with something completely better. Maybe sidechains end up being a quicker and easier model. There's no telling. There's a ton of work happening on the Lightning Network, and I think it's got an unbelievable head start, but it's simply not the only thing out there. You know, there are plenty of competing protocols in the peer-to-peer market, in the early days of the internet, and all sorts of stuff, and you don't really know where it's going to land. So we have a best guess, and I think that statement is pretty much correct. If you take out no doubt that Bitcoin is going to replace fiat and Lightning is how, I think that's pretty much correct. But I just wanted to, and you know, don't at me. Like, I know I'm ridiculous and speaking absolutes pretty often, and I've talked about how Lightning was going to change everything and how Bitcoin was going to bring down the state. I'm aware of that. This is just my moment to take a step back and give a little dose of rational pushback on this. Now, if you want to go back and get really bullish, listen to the Tales from the Crypt episode with Jack Mallers, because I just listened to it, so I know I'm like way overexcited right now. That's why I'm trying to come back. I'm trying to come back down a little bit and talk about this new LSP thing in a reasonable tone. So I'll tell you, Breeze is really the reason I've had so much luck with Lightning lately. I have been relying on them as my LSP, and I have made their wallet, aside from kind of piggybacking off of my Casa as my main like refunding and or refilling and withdrawing wallet. So I use Casa for payments much less often than I use Breeze, but it's mostly because of Breeze acting as an LSP that I have been able to use Lightning all the time. And because it's a Neutrino-based node, so syncing takes like hardly any time at all. And I'm just starting to, now that Olympus has just been announced from Jack Mallers, again, if you haven't listened to the Tales from the Crypt episode, you got to. This is going to be, I'm so excited about this. So I'm trying to get back into the Zap wallet because I haven't used it in a while. But I'm going to use the crap out of the Olympus wallet or the debit card straight to Lightning service. And I am excited to see how that plays out. So let's dig into the Lightning service providers concept, because I love this concept. And it aligns everything so beautifully to create an open market for this sort of service. And I just think it's going to be, I think the stage is being set for such a fascinating market development like route that I find it hard. I think right now the path of least resistance to all of this is this sort of thing, is an LSP. Essentially a services platform, a service layer. Well, yeah, an application and service layer for the Bitcoin protocol stack. That's really what we're talking about here. And I think this is just going to be massive. So Because that's the biggest problem in Lightning. That's the one, like, always the point of failure is how do you find stable, well-connected nodes? I remember when there was the explosion of channels and nodes early on in the network. Everybody's just opening channels with anybody that, like, will open, like, this is available to open channels with. I did it a lot, too. And in no time, because people were just playing around with the network and seeing what it was like, half of my channels would be offline. And I'd be like, crap, I didn't even get to do anything with any of these channels. And now I'm having to check all these channels that are offline. And, you know, half of my liquidity is, like, locked up and I can't do anything with it. Like very early on when everybody was in the testing, let me just boot something up and play around with it and then shut it down phase, it was really kind of a headache. And that's like the worst thing for your position in the Lightning Network. If you're not connected to reliable nodes, you're not well connected to the network at all. You know, it's like it doesn't matter how fast the internet itself is. If you've got a dial-up connection, if you've got a dial-up internet connection being shared with six of your neighbors over ham radio signals, well, then, you know, your internet experience is going to be crap. Doesn't matter if the whole rest of the network is fiber. And that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about finding that first group of nodes to connect to, is what's your connection into the network? And that is that's the prime target for initial services in the Lightning Network. Liquidity is the service of the Lightning Network. Liquidity for payments, to make secure payments. And that's to think that we're taking something that, I mean, that's what Visa provides, a platform and liquidity for payments. And they provide the infrastructure. Like, this is all, we're talking about this being built into the back end of a decentralized open source protocol. This is really an astounding breakthrough. This is not something to be scoffed at, even if it doesn't, even in the stage where it's not working reliably. And I'm so excited about where Breeze has taken this, and the fact that Roy, thank you, by the way, to Roy, I didn't even said anything about it, for Roy writing this article, because I was kind of passing through in my head, like, it was just kind of imagining, like, okay, what exactly is the service of the LSP? And I like that it laid out the, you know, five main services that an LSP is actually providing. But I would actually add a sixth one for aggregating. And we'll get to that in just a minute, because I think there's going to be, another layer to what Lightning service providers offer that they're in a prime spot to offer. Like, they could not, they're basically getting the real estate that I think would put them in the top position for exactly this sort of service. Now, we'll get to that in just a second. But first, I just want to get into the overall job of the LSP. And I'm just going to hit all of them really fast. We've got opening channels, which if you've ever downloaded the Breeze wallet, Breeze is a great example to just have so you can kind of see how this plays out. So if you haven't downloaded, that's Breez. If you haven't downloaded it yet, just go check it out. They open a channel to you automatically and you'll just wait for confirmation essentially. And that happens immediately when you set up the wallet. So it really does only take a handful of minutes, like 10, 20 minutes before you can actually use it as a Lightning wallet. But that's the first thing that an LSP does, is it will open a channel to you. And the second job is to give incoming capacity so that you can actually receive payments, which, you know, for somebody actually getting into Lightning for the first time may actually be wanting to do that. They may, the onboarding is not really in the Bitcoin community. The onboarding is in the noob community, the people who don't have Bitcoin and they've been trying to figure out how to get it, how to use it, and what to do with it. So it's really important that these services actually do provide incoming capacity. They have liquidity for exactly that service. So somebody can receive $10, $50 in Bitcoin immediately. And that's the other thing about Olympus, Jack Mallers, new Zap service or whatever, where you can just pay with a debit or credit card. I think maybe it's just a debit card. I don't remember. I'm still digging into all the details. I'm so excited about that, but I haven't had the time yet to go into it. Where you can buy Bitcoin with a debit card and then have it immediately fund in your Zap wallet. And that is incredibly, incredibly exciting. I talk about getting through the user interface issue and the user experience with having to get them. I mean, think about the comparison for where we've come. Like, there are a number of apps now where the first iteration, the first experience of anything with Bitcoin will come from a Lightning transaction. Like, so the normal setup now, if you're like a Bitcoin noob, it's like, okay, well, first, sign up on this exchange and give them all your information and take a photo ID with your selfie, take a selfie with your photo ID, give them all this crap, sign up, KYC, AML, blah, 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 connect your bank account, transfer money into it, buy some Bitcoin. Now you got to set up your own wallet. You know, you should probably get a hardware wallet. Here's the 24-word seed, blah, blah, blah. Get up a Bitcoin account. This is your address. Now open up a Lightning wallet. Now this is the same Bitcoin address, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, the trek that I did from Bitcoin to a Lightning wallet and then set up a channel, don't use autopilot because autopilot is not very good. Here's directions on channel management. I mean, the headache is insane. Like, the complaint from Bcashers and big blockers or whatever that Lightning is confusing and complicated is absolutely true. In this stage of development and using it the way that I've had to use it, no normie was ever going to do that. And I knew that. That was absolutely clear. It was just so stupid, in my opinion, to assume that that wasn't going to change, that there's just no way around this. It's like their issue with it was just a complete and utter lack of imagination and the inability to actually, or really the, it's not even the inability, it was the purposeful ignorance on even trying to figure out if there was an easy and obvious solution to these problems, that things could actually get sorted out. It was that they desperately just wanted it not to work. So why spend 2 minutes thinking up a solution? And now, obviously, we have these things. These things are landing. LSPs are being developed. And I love this concept. I think this is going to be a major part of Lightning. And I think this is how we build this out in markets of professional liquidity providers that are available anywhere in the world. And we'll get to why this is not a centralization problem. In fact, I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's a beautifully global, open, decentralized market. And I'm really excited about that. But before we get there, so routing, that's the next thing that the LSP does. They act as hubs, and they are the ones that make sure routes are available, liquidity is available. And that's also part of channel balancing. The next thing is rebalancing that capital that is available in, like Breeze talks about having 70 different channels available to other hubs and other nodes and other businesses and stuff on the Lightning Network. So they have a plethora of routing options to reach each destination. And of course, the simplicity of getting to any other Breeze user is obviously, I mean, you're only going through one hop. And because they've already offered up liquidity on your side, it's really easy to bridge that gap. You know, like, everybody can already receive payments. I mean, we did it at the Raleigh Bitcoin meetup. We had a noob come in and listen to the show and participate a little bit. And she was kind of like, oh, I'm not interested in Bitcoin, but I haven't really gone there yet. We got her to download the Breeze wallet. After a little bit, while we were explaining kind of what was happening with the confirmation and the syncing, which the sync doesn't take very long. If anybody's listened to the previous episodes about Neutrino, it's a very lightweight syncing. So even when I haven't opened up my Breeze wallet for a week, it really only takes like 20 seconds to get caught up. because the Neutrino uses block filters as opposed to obviously downloading the full blockchain on your phone. And the block filters are literally, I think it's like 20 megs or something in total right now. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's something like that. And so the LSPs are providing all of these available routes, and I just have the one connection to Breeze. Well, unless, of course, I set up my custom to my own node or something like that. But that's actually, we talked about in the Bit Refill episode about trampoline payments, where if your device is having a hard time keeping the entire index of the Lightning Network, that you can actually reach out and request for your LSP. This gives up privacy, by the way. So this would be the LSP would let you, or you'd be letting the LSP know who you were sending the payment to, whereas in the other instance where you're just sending a normal payment, really Breeze has no idea. Even if I'm paying another Breeze user, if I'm just doing it through a basic Lightning channel, a basic Lightning invoice, I'm not using trampoline payments or anything out of the ordinary, Breeze really doesn't know that I'm paying them. The only way they would know that is if that person had no other channel. But at the same time, they could also have a private channel, so they don't really know. They can just kind of guess. But that's another beautiful thing about Lightning is it's everything is private. Even your LSP doesn't really know what's going on. But the trampoline payments, what that's about is to offload to your LSP or to some other computer that may have a lot more computational power. And obviously with what they talked about in this article, that you can pick your own node. Well, I can use my computer at home, which might be a beast as opposed to my cell phone, to route payments for me. So I can just offload the difficult computational work and the need for lots of RAM onto my home desktop computer. And that's another amazing thing about this technology is that you can just, it's just open. Like I can connect and do, I have free reign and free control over my keys, over who I connect to. And there is this market need for liquidity, routes, channel payments for reliable connections into the Lightning Network, and there is just this perfect slot for LSPs to fit right in. And that's the last last piece of the puzzle is reliability at the end of this. You need a reliable connection into the Lightning Network. And, you know, hardware on some random person's desktop computer is often not reliable. It's not always on. Sometimes they have to shut down the computer. I've had to break up this audio into two different days worth of recording with a gap in between because I've completely had to redo my operating system. From where I started this episode, I'm actually on a completely different operating system, completely different partition on my computer. So I know exactly what it's like to have unreliable computers or unreliable hardware. And that's an incredibly important part of the Bitcoin network. The Lightning Network, is you need to have, they need to be online. So again, a perfect case for a service. And even more so, a service whose node is always, by default, charging a fee for the route. And right now, obviously, it's small. The default is like one Satoshi, if I'm not mistaken. But there are a number of nodes out there, yawls.org, Lightning power users that actually charge real fees because they want to be able to bring in a little bit of capital from their reliable channels that allow them to rebalance and create more liquidity and splice in and splice out and loop in transactions and all this stuff without losing money on the fees. They want to get back the fees. And it's just as important to establish fees on the Lightning Network as it is to establish fees on the Bitcoin Network. It can't be free. Liquidity isn't free. Capital access is not free. There has to be a fee for it. And the more actual cost, not necessarily a big cost, but real cost in the sense that maybe it costs a tenth of a cent or a hundredth of a cent even really, enough that it makes a difference when you do it a million times. That's how you protect the market from spam. That's how you protect an open network from flooding the network, from screwing up liquidity as an attack vector. Like if somebody can rebalance an entire, I mean, think about it, a competing business or a competing LSP could connect to their competition, connect to a different LSP that they wanted to screw up. And essentially, if they weren't charging, if that second LSP was not charging rates or fees equivalent to the liquidity that's available, where, you know, maybe if you're routing 20 cent, you don't charge a fee at all because that's not really important. But if you're routing $100 through, ooh, you need to, you know, you need to pay me 10 cent for this transaction because that's going to fill out some sort of a channel. And I'm going to have to rebalance or, you know, do a circular transaction to get my liquidity back even. But this malicious LSP that we're talking about in this instance could specifically go through and try to unbalance all of the other LSP's funds. And if that other LSP didn't charge a proper fee to fix and rebalance, well, then they let themselves get screwed. They opened themselves to an attack vector. But anyway, that's just a couple of reasons why I think it's important that we start establishing fees in the Lightning Network, albeit small, but at least enough to kind of protect against a, you know, DDoS attack or something like that. But let's get to the centralization, quote-unquote, issue. Because this is a... And I talked about this in my Answering the Lightning FUD article. I don't know, it was a while ago. But in fact, I think it was like episode 50 or something like that. So it's over a year ago now, if I'm not mistaken. And I did talk about this, but I actually wanted to hit it again. And he brings it up and he's like, okay, well, you know, now we're just connecting to hubs and hubs are connecting to each other. Isn't this centralized? Isn't this a problem? Can't they censor or try to track your payments and stuff like that? Aren't all the problems with using an ISP, and in fact, just like that, using the ISP example, is that we would consider, I think most people would consider ISPs heavily centralized. And at the same time as being centralized, or because they are centralized, they're a single point of failure on spying what you're doing on the internet, controlling what you're doing on the internet. Like they, the whole net neutrality thing was over throttling traffic to Netflix specifically. I mean, what if they, what if the LSP charges a very specific, you know, charges a much higher fee to route to Netflix? You know, like when you've got some if we're talking about an analogous situation, I think that's ridiculous, but let's go with the analogy here first. And then, so they're going to spy, they can censor or control exactly what your traffic is to certain areas. And of course, in the context of censoring, they can just shut down your ability to transact. And technically, an LSP, if you were connected to them, could do the very last one. They could shut down your ability to transact, but they literally couldn't do anything else. None of the other stuff is possible. And the only thing they can do with the last one takes one Bitcoin transaction as a solution. Like, the solution is very quick. And any LSP that did this would be absolutely committing suicide as a service provider in this network. Why? Because ISPs get away with it because you don't have any other options. So in my complete honesty and really trying to see if Lightning has some sort of a centralization issue, is this, there's just no meaningful concern here whatsoever. And I think the best way to express that or to explain that is by comparing it to what if ISPs worked like the Lightning Network. Would it be an improvement or would it be basically the same thing? And the biggest and most obvious reason why it's not centralized is that there is no geographic limitation whatsoever. It is a truly global, open, frictionless financial marketplace. There is no limit. Like, if I have a problem with Time Warner or Spectrum or whoever it is in my area. I've got them and like AT&T. That's it. Those are my only two options as an ISP. My quote-unquote only options for an LSP is any LSP in the entire world. So why, if a more reliable doesn't censor LSP is in South Korea, would I use one that is geographically near me that was censoring, which again is stupid. It doesn't make any sense because they would have to know where the final destination of every payment is. They have to change their own implementation of the protocol. It really doesn't make any sense, but even though I think it's ridiculous, let's assume that this is true. That it makes any sense whatsoever for an LSP to attempt to censor transactions. Why would I use that LSP? Why would I ever use one that specifically... And what was my limitation? Why would I be forced to use one? Is there a reason I can't download a different piece of software? Is there a reason I can't open a channel with anyone else? Imagine right now if instead of being stuck with your two or three ISP options, you could sign up for literally any internet service on the planet. You could use some mobile cellular 300 megabit connection in Hong Kong, some broadband connection in Estonia, the Google satellite internet service, a fiber line in Singapore, and you could do this. You could just have any of these internet options available to you without going anywhere. And no matter who you connected to or where they were, your connection is entirely encrypted and private. There's no like, I don't need a VPN here. No one can spy on what's happening outside of our direct channels. And it is onion routed by default. It is, as soon as you send a payment that isn't directly to the LSP, or analogously, is as soon as you go to a website that isn't that isn't the actual ISP's website. Like, as soon as I'm not going straight to my ISP, Spectrum, or whoever it is, and I'm going somewhere else on the internet, it's invisible to them. You don't need a VPN or some exit node that you have to worry about when the entire internet is Tor. That is what Lightning is. The entire network is onion routed. It's a giant financial Tor network. And there's not even a ClearNet alternative to it. That's the other big thing, is there's no like, I'm trying to get privacy, but I got to do something fancy. There's no ClearNet Lightning Network. It's just all Tor. Tor is the only internet out there. Again, even if you're using your local geographically limited ISP, not really a big concern if everything you're doing is over Tor. You don't really have that much to worry about. And yes, they can see that, okay, you went to the next server because they bounce. That's how the onion routing works. It only lets them see the very next location. And then the next layers, the layers further out from there, they can't see. And even if the next one is the destination, that next server, they don't know that. They cannot know that for sure. They don't know if there are other private connections. They don't know, just in LSP, they don't know if there are other private channels. They have, and it looks the same whether there is 9 more hops in the channel or if there's nothing at all, if that's the final destination. And then back to the ISP example. Imagine there's no restriction whatsoever in who that internet provider is. Again, anywhere in the world. And no one can trap you in a contract. That's the thing. He talks about these service level agreements with LSPs. It's a brilliant way to create consumer confidence in signing up for this node that we promise 99.9% uptime for the month. So your payments will always get routed. And for any payment under $100 or something like that, there will always be a route available. Anything over that, we have options. Like, it's great to actually have a service level agreement so that you can rely on these nodes. I mean, if I'm just a random node on the network and you just want to connect to me, I could completely change my setup. If I don't have to come to you, I'm just connecting randomly into the network. There's no reason for me to have to email you and be like, by the way, my server's going to go down for a minute. I'm just going to change my computer. So we don't have an agreement between us. And I think it makes sense that there would be for something you're relying on for routing payments, for moving payments through. It's great. But understand, that agreement cannot trap you in a contract. It can't trap you into using that LSP. It's just for confidence in saying you can trust me. You can rely on me for your connection into the Lightning Network. That's all that agreement is. They have zero way to prevent you from closing your channel at any time that you want. So it's like having an internet contract that literally just this minute, I could just be like, I'm so sick of this internet company. And I just hit exit. I just hit close channel and it's done. I no longer have their internet service. And again, I can connect to any internet service in the world after that. The user always retains the ability to just peace out with their money. That if there was any reason to distrust or be concerned with the LSP that was chosen, I'm out. And in that, in the market itself, every market barrier to competition is basically gone. There are no national borders. There's no regulatory barriers. There's no pricing barriers. There's no language barrier. It's all just part of the protocol. There's no geographic barriers. None. They're just gone. Imagine if you could just have that with ISPs. And best of all, because the user never loses the ability to, loses their final say, it perfectly aligns the incentives. The LSP has no relevant control whatsoever other than delaying the user. That is the most bad that they can essentially do. So a bad LSP that does not serve the user is discarded in no time at all. The barrier to destroying or the barrier to bad economic behavior being punished is so low that it makes no sense for a bad actor to ever arise for any length of time. It's literally like an internet where there are no contracts, and the time it takes to end a relationship with an ISP is about a 10-minute confirmation. So if that's the new world of ISPs, of internet service provision, of providing that service, would this be a negative or a positive development for the decentralization of the internet? Because that's essentially those are the ins and outs of a quote-unquote lightning service provider in the context of, is it centralized? No. No. And I think any assumption that it is or would be for any reason is really kind of dumb. But mostly due to a complete and utter lack of imagination, which I said before, is probably on purpose. It's that willful ignorance where it's just, I don't want to think about it and I don't want to imagine it as being better because it's really comfortable for me to hate it and think it's stupid and never going to work. And what's funny is we can actually take this like one step further. Like there's a new curveball in the brilliance of the LSP that they actually talk about is that, even if one LSP can cause these problems, well, guess what? You can connect to five LSPs at once. And you can choose whichever one you want to use at any particular time. So if one fails to route a payment, we'll just use a different one. And you don't even have to. That's a situation where you can close the contract and just not even think about it because you're already connected to multiple. So it's like having five companies that can give you customer support and you just hang up on the one that's being shitty or not answering your question. And you just have, four people on the phone at all times trying to help you sort out your issue. And so not only is it not centralized in just the general sense, but there's not even any reason why you would only have to pick one. You could have as many as you want. You could have, just like Breeze, how they have 70 channels open with all these different areas and stuff. You could just as easily have 70 yourself. So it doesn't matter. There is no centralization in any meaningful sense whatsoever. And regardless of if there is centralization in like a number of Lightning service providers that do a really good job, it will be specifically and only because they do a really good job. And like that's like saying that the market is not decentralized because one company is really successful. That is not what that means at all. A market can still have open competition, and one person may or one company may still succeed above and beyond all the others and take a lot of the market dominance. Centralization is about the structure of the market. Now, if there's like billions of dollars worth of regulatory overhead to start a company in order to compete with them, okay, yeah, that's incredibly centralized, because how many people you can, you know, count on your hand, how many people who have billions of dollars to just throw around like that and also have an interest in that sort of company or something. So that's centralization in market choice, not centralization in market architecture. It is no less a decentralized network or system just because one company or one node or one server, something, you know, whatever, is particularly successful in comparison to others. But that's what leads to what I think would be number six on this list, is aggregating. And I also think, because we've got a situation with LSPs, and we're going to get, you know, service level agreements possibly, and we're going to develop an entire liquidity and routing, like channel management market, because it's very possible that we can see that sort of development, I think it will make a lot of sense to have a decentralized reputation system. And I think that's actually a prime target for an additional Lightning service. Because that's one of the coolest things about that, is because Lightning is becoming its own market, it's becoming its own ecosystem with pricing and liquidity and capital availability, all this stuff. Because of that, it's all of the individual Lightning services, all the needs for Lightning, like needing routing and channel management, are the best first case for services on Lightning. So if there's not a basic, very quick and easy protocol level solution, or like protocol autopilot, like client solution for the routing problem or for the liquidity problem, well, make it a service, make it a market. That's great. Now we're going to compete for who can do it the best and who can do it the most reliably. And I think another piece of that puzzle with node reliability and stuff that may not be served on the protocol level, why not make it an application? Why not make it a decentralized database of reputation systems, of a reputation system? Use the public key as the identifier. And arguably maybe this is what we kind of have coming with Casa and Microsoft partnership. I haven't heard anything else about that, but I think that's going to be a very big, important part of this, is being able to see a node history. And actually, I got a good friend in the Crypto Economy Crew chat. It's not public yet, I don't believe. But is making a website or making a project very around that sort of concept. And it looks kind of neat and fun. So this is going to be another prime target for a market within Lightning that will help to build out the infrastructure and the robustness of the network. It makes sense to make sure that your node has been reliable in the past, has liquidity available, et cetera, to connect to. And it will flush out all of the crappy nodes. It will get rid of all the routes that are constantly online and offline. It will develop a heart to the network that is incredibly circular, well connected, and robust for everyone to tap into. And that's just really exciting to see this, you know, intricate spider web being built with all of the, and like the opportunity for all of these additional markets to basically round all the corners, cross all the T's, dot all the I's, to fill in all the little gaps where the Lightning protocol works, but it needs some sort of explicit direction to be reliable, to have liquidity available, to have channels managed properly, to get fees figured out, to get a reputation system up and running, to get a proper encrypted messaging service up and running, to get ways to aggregate the opening and closing of channels. That's, again, why I think LSPs will be prime targets for that. If you've got a lot of people connecting to them, sending, opening and closing channels when things need to get rebalanced or looping in and looping out. For anybody who doesn't know, the loop thing that I've mentioned a couple of times already is when you send an on-chain transaction to a sort of insured controlled swap with just a random node out on the network that's locked to your key. So essentially you can't have, there's no risk. You don't have to trust anybody. So it doesn't really matter who you use. It either works or it doesn't. You never have to really worry about losing money. But it's called an atomic swap or a submarine swap. And so the loop in and the loop out is when you send an on-chain transaction in order to get balance on a Lightning channel, or the reverse. You loop out by sending Lightning forward and then getting an on-chain transaction back. So those sorts of things will be happening a lot when we're talking about routing and channel management. And LSPs are the perfect place to, for a small fee, aggregate a lot of transactions to save money, especially for those initial, you know, maybe refilling your channel balance or something, but aggregating them from all of their users all at once. If you've got a million users, every 10 minutes might see, you know, 200 channels get looped in or looped out at once. So, well, why not, for the money that you've already got in channels connected to them, charge a 10-cent fee per, and then take a huge cost and or a data savings by aggregating all of these at once and then dropping out, you know, all of the returned or refilled balances through their Lightning network. Again, another simple service that I think they're a prime target to actually fulfill the market need for. But since we're going to talk about Lightning tomorrow, probably, I don't know, now that I'm on a completely different setup and I'm going to have to figure out how to get a new editing situation going on here. I am back on Ozone Audio, my main software, but there are still a couple of pieces of the puzzle that on my new setup here I have not sorted out yet. So I still don't even have internet on this computer, so I'm going to have to transfer stuff over and probably upload this with my iPad. But we'll go ahead and just close this episode here. Hopefully we'll have a guys take episode tomorrow. That was the original plan, but I'm already 2 days behind on figuring out all this stuff because of this, you know, computer taking a dump on me here. So thank you to Roy Scheinfeld for letting me read this article and for writing the article, and always for the Breeze Wallet. I've been relying on them a lot, and no, I'm not getting paid for this. I am not. I know I talk about them, have talked about them a lot on the show. This is not an advertisement. I just really love the wallet, so I talk about it. But I do encourage you to download that and check out the article. And he just actually dropped another one that I have not gotten to, but it is an extension and talking about the markets of LSPs, which is so exciting because that's really what I've been brainstorming about for weeks now and been stuck on thinking about. So we might be jumping into that one soon too. I don't know. I haven't read it yet, but definitely check that out. I'll try to have that link in the show notes, as well as the original article that I read today, link to Roy's Twitter page and all that stuff so you can follow, drop some applause on Medium and all that wonderful stuff. This is the Crypto Economy, and this will conclude out our quick read and commentary of introducing Lightning service providers. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are back in action. Sorry for the little break there. And I will catch you guys tomorrow. If you would like to become a patron to the show, check out patreon.com/thecryptoeconomy. I got some really fun announcements coming in the next day or two. I think something is finally done, and I want to double check and go back through it. But I have something to announce, so don't forget to follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy. Fun stuff on the way. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm so happy to get to explore and build and play in this absolutely fascinating new world with all of you. And I love that you are taking this ride with me. So thank you again. I am Guy Swan. This is The Crypto Economy. I will catch you all tomorrow with another episode. And until then, take it easy, guys.